Welcome to the latest episode of CarePoints. I'm your host, Kenny Schiff, Director of Analytics for Lone Star Communication and founder of CareSight. Today's episode is part of my continuing series of conversations with my collaborators at Lone Star, customers, partners, and notable folks in the healthcare and tech industry. Today, I'm excited to talk to Kirill Kadamsky and Carl Cox from HatchMed. Over the past 5 years, HatchMed has been working with hospitals on taking consumer devices and adapting them for healthcare in a way that makes practical sense. As part of that work, HatchMed has been pioneering patient and care team-focused tablet solutions and the necessary components to make that all work. Kirill is Hatch's chief product officer, and his partner in crime is my friend Carl Cox, their director of engineering and quality. What I love about Hatch is that it's a contemporary company that's built to innovate while at the same time built on solid historical foundation. Case in point, Carl is one of the true pioneers in the neuroscience industry, going back to his initial work in 1974. Welcome, Kirill and Carl. And let's get started by having Carl introduce himself, and then we'll talk to Kirill.
I'm Carl Cox. I'm an electrical engineer. I've been working on nurse call design since 1974 and involved with UL 1069, the regulatory body that controls nurse call in the United States since 1977. So I've had just a few years of experience working with healthcare communication.
And how did you come to work for Hatch?
In 2017, I retired from Roland Borg, and I had met Brian Hatch, the founder, when he had come out with his original blackjack cable, and had been intrigued by it. Always liked magnets. Magnets are cool. And when I retired, Brian started hiring me as a consultant part-time. And between 2017 and 2020, that evolved from a part-time role to a full-time role.
Excellent. So, Kirill, why don't you tell us, tell our audience who you are, what you do at Hatch, and anything about your background.
Yeah, great to join you, Kenny. I don't have quite as many years in the industry as Carl, so my background isn't as exciting. But I joined Brian around 7 years ago, and right at that time, we were kind of going through that transition of doing cables and doing magnetic pillow speaker adapters, bed connections, really everything in that space, but starting to really get into consumer devices and taking those and really making them usable and accessible for patients in a hospital. So go doing everything from software to hardware. It's been a fun couple of years together with Carl, with Chris, with the rest of our team, and I'm excited to chat about it today.
So one of the key distinguishing characteristics about Hatch is Hatch has worked hard to live in an environment which has old and new together. So here's the question for the both of you, and we can start with Kirill. How do we balance new technology around the patient with the existing nurse call systems so that care teams, they're used to what they have and they're ready for what's coming, and how does all this stuff work together?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always going to be a drive for new tech, and there's a kind of a stigma and some hospitals more than others that nurse call has to be upgraded, has to be replaced, has to be, you know, moved aside. But I don't think that's always the case. I think nurse call really isn't all that bad at all. And I think a lot of the tech and a lot of the workflows and the systems and everything that care teams are used to in the hospitals is really evolved around the nurse call system. So trying to go in, replace that, get rid of it really is much more than it seems on the front. And really any new tech that we introduce to the hospitals needs to be balanced and needs to be integrated in a way that works with the existing systems and doesn't force the care teams and the nurses to become IT people trying to learn everything new about it.
And Carl, you've seen this thematically over your extended career. Are things different today than they were, back in the 70s and 80s or 90s?
Obviously, things are way different. Nurse call was originally a safety-based system. And over time, the manufacturers, we integrated workflow for caregivers. So we really, really innovated on the caregiver side of the equation. What hasn't happened over time is there has been little to no innovation over the patient side of that communications. The pillow speakers that are being sold today look very much like the pillow speakers that were being sold in the 1960s, where they look sort of like a TV remote with no configurable screen, no touch screen, no ability for shortcut or macro keys. And that's one of the areas that we looked at in focusing here, was to be able to give patients the same sort of easy to use and familiar to use with devices they use at home to be able to operate inside the hospital.
Which leads me to the next question. So obviously the manufacturers of nurse call patient care communication technology have evolved. There's definitely some movements happening on the nurse call side. Compared to what's going on in other markets, what's going on in nurse call and how does Hatch play with that?
Well, it's our intention to play nice with everybody. We intend to be an enhancement to the nurse call in the communications between the patient and caregivers, or even the patient and their family. So we're sitting on the edge of what nurse call is doing and adding or addending or giving better operation to the patient. And that results also from the caregiver's point of view, that they get more information on a more timely basis, more detail.
And Kirill, I imagine in your role, you're out there talking to customers a lot. So you have an opportunity to have kind of a new lens on things, because obviously you're younger, and while you have sensitivity to the industry in general, you're able to look at it through fresh eyes. What are customers saying to you about their needs regarding the functions that might traditionally have been taken care of by a traditional system?
I think you touched on an interesting point, right? That it's kind of, you have a younger guy like myself that challenges Carl and that, you know, sometimes causes frustration, but hopefully at the end of the day, it's a good working environment, right? Where I can ask the question, hey, why not? Right. And I might get a question from a customer that I just don't know the answer to. And having this working relationship with Carl, where we can ask the questions that our customers are asking us, but then actually be able to innovate on it. And really, I mean, it comes down to, I think, and Kenny, you know more about this than anyone else, but how do you get actionable data, right? From the nurse call systems, from any device that we deploy, from all the software that hospitals are putting in front of their patients. For us, it really comes down to, why do we need to deploy it, right? And a lot of the hospitals are asking, you know, we see this sort of patient-facing products, maybe more hospitality-focused, maybe more hardware-focused, maybe more EMR integrations. But really, if we're giving patients and care teams access to all this extra info, all these extra little touch points that we can interact with, how do we actually get value out of it, right? How do we make it actionable? How do we save the nurses time? And how do we hopefully get the patients home sooner and ideally happier? And really, those are the kinds of questions that we like to get in the weeds with with hospitals, and that's what gets us out of bed.
Great. So one of the things that Carl brought up is the lack of attention to the patient experience side of things from the traditional nurse call manufacturer. So in some respects, you're not necessarily suggesting upending what's there. You're suggesting augmenting, adding on, enhancing. So let's talk about how you are augmenting and preserving the workflow and improving the patient experience. So what are some of the things that Hatch is doing? Carl, let's start with you.
Well, for starters, we're giving the patients much more of a configurable screen to work with. So rather than just a single red button that says, help, I need a nurse, or a pre-programmed button that says, I need pain medication, they now have an array of options and icons where they can give specific feedback to the caregivers on what they need. I'm cold, I need a blanket. My IV alarm, drip alarm is going off. I need somebody to reset it. And one of the really innovative things that came out of interaction with a customer base is that we can set those screens up right now in 10 different languages. so that in an individual room, when a patient is admitted, if that patient's native language is Spanish or, you know, Mandarin or some other native language, the screen operates in their native language, which is something you could not do with a traditional pillow speaker control. And it's in their hands. The other part that's to me really great is the fact that there have been systems that have come along that have put a lot of this type of interactivity into the television set at the foot of the bed, but you're navigating that with a arrow up, arrow down, cursor type control that makes it very, very difficult for the patient to operate rather than just hit a button that says this. And that ability to bring up, well, for instance, in a postnatal care area, you know, we can put up a button where a patient can request that their baby be brought, and another button that says, "Can you take my baby back now?" And this can be individualized by patient, by bed. So you don't have to pick something, and then 400 rooms in the hospital would all have the same display. It can be actually individualized to when that patient is admitted to the room, keyed off of their EMR feed.
Right, and everything about what's happening on the workflow side is this kind of the same as what people are used to, but you're extending the capabilities and giving the patient more control over their experience. So let's shift it and talk a little bit more about the patient experience. So a lot of where you guys are headed recognizes that patients are bringing smart devices into the room, whether they be smartphones like iPhones or Android phones or tablets of varying kinds, potentially even laptops at some point. So let's talk about how you're harnessing that, and how you are making that be kind of a safe, reliable experience in the hospital. And Kirill, why don't we go to you for that one?
I think in general, there's really been a shift towards hospitality for the patients in and around the industry, right? It's having that experience of you walk into a hotel, you see your own name on the TV screen, it shows your entertainment, and ideally moving past just having your standard set-top box channels on the TV, it's having access to all that information that's already there. And that's what I think a lot of good work that the patient experience companies are doing is taking all that data from the EMR that's there already and displaying it to the patient, taking all those movies, educational videos, all the relaxation content, and just providing that to the patient in a way that makes sense and a lot more straightforward. And really, that's where I think our tech works best, right? Is taking existing systems. Carl was talking about the nurse call system, taking the EMR data that's available at the patient and really bringing it all together so that a patient doesn't need to have to use, you know, a hospital-owned iPad for one item, a pillow speaker for another, a house phone for a third. Really, the goal is how can we get all of these different devices that are living in the patient bed and try to consolidate them as much as possible and make it simpler for the patient. And our approach is, well, look, the pillow speaker, the nurse call system, you can control your room from that. You can control the TV from that. You can get access to your nurse and all the workflows already established. So why don't we basically put all of that plus the patient's own data about their stay and really helpful links to get them out of their hospital room as soon as possible? How can we bring that all onto one device and ideally their own device? And that's exactly what we do. And, you know, it's always an interesting question for each hospital of, well, what happens when the patient goes home or when the grandma's kid goes home, and how do we stop them from changing the channels and turning the lights on and off continuously? And in general, how do we keep patient data safe, right? If we're opening it up a lot, how do we make sure that it doesn't leave the room ultimately? And that's one of probably the most interesting part of all this isn't the being able to give it to the patients. It's how do you control it? And now that we've really opened up this proprietary system, how do we still keep it within the boundary of the hospital, even though patients are almost using it in the same way they would at a hotel room? And our focus has really been on the security behind it, going from EMR and automatically discharging patients when they get discharged from the hospital to having different types of geolocation lockdown so that you can only actually access their digital whiteboard when they're in the hospital. But really, what's interesting is that each hospital has its own solution. And we've seen some of our clients that want to just give the patients a big QR code sticker and say, go ahead, scan it. Here's your digital pillow speaker. Others prefer to text them a link before their stay so that they can sign up, enter their phone number, get their own information access. But really, it all comes down to how much access do you want to give patients to their own data versus the risks that come with it. And that's the fun game that we play.
So we'll come back to that. I want to talk to Carl a little bit about how it goes together from an infrastructure standpoint. And what I find pretty interesting about what Hatch is doing is that a lot of people who provide the kinds of services that you are involved with are more on the software side of things, less on the infrastructure side of things. And yet you're using your strong background from an infrastructure standpoint to inform what you're doing in a way that maybe is more complementary and easier for the customers to adopt. But Carl, so let's imagine that a hospital wants to have the HatchMed technology with a patient-facing smart device in the room. How does that go together?
The core element we have is something we call the smart IO hub, IoT hub, you know, Internet of Thing hub. So this is a device that plugs into the existing pillow speaker socket on a patient station and connects to the cloud either via Wi-Fi or wired Ethernet and allows our cloud control base to link the handheld device that the patient is using to being able to control the devices in the room. Devices in the room run everywhere from the television to shade control to, in some cases, complete temperature control, environmental control.
Yeah. Lighting too?
Lighting too. We've also integrated with voice-operated systems using Alexa so that a patient can essentially do all of those functions by voice control as well as by their handheld unit. Again, providing that link between the cloud and the control inside the room via the pillow speaker socket.
And I have to imagine from a cost perspective, your ability to amp up the existing technology as an overlay on top of existing infrastructure offers a lot of cost benefits. Kirill, you want to jump on that, or Carl, doesn't matter.
No, absolutely. And I mean, if you're a hospital, you kind of have a couple options, right? You can go in, you can replace all the existing infrastructure in your existing rooms. You can build a new tower, or you can upgrade what you have today incrementally. And I think most hospitals do a combination of all three, frankly. Yeah, but what that means is that you now have different patient experiences for patients in different wings, different units, different floors sometimes. And what a lot of our customers ask for is, well, if we're building a new tower, if we're doing a nurse call system upgrade, we're getting new beds, new systems, new TVs, how do we keep that experience universal? And our focus really is taking one system that's ready in place, and for, as you said, for a fraction of the price of building a new tower, we're able to bring all those different rooms and that patient experience to the same level, to the same parity, all through using the exact same system that's already installed and just being able to open it up to the cloud server and all the customization and the extra workflows that come with that.
To chime in on that, the interface that the patient looks at is basically identical no matter what the brand of nurse call would be in the room. So if a hospital has a mix of nurse call or they have mix of age of nurse call, it can give a universal experience from room to room to room without being, in essence, the patient is never seeing anything that's customized. So when you turn on the lights in a room with a Roland Borg system or turn on the lights in a room with a Hillrom system, to the patient it's identical. And nothing is different. So from the hospital perspective, you get a continuity across their facility, particularly if they have purchased different systems over time.
So since we're likely to have interested customers who are listening, I'm wondering if we could let people know the things they need to think about in advance if they want to consider a platform like Hatch.
It really comes down to, you know, and it's a question that we always open up our sales calls with, which is, why are you looking at the new tech? I think there's a lot of great use cases. There's a lot of products out there, but ultimately we've learned that we need to help ask that question first, because it's easy to get sucked into the promise of cool new technology, all these extra features, but really you need to figure out, you know, why we're doing it. And one of the main drivers that we see hospitals answer that question with is, well, we want to empower our patients with technology, right? And I think that's a great sentiment, but ultimately there needs to be an assumption, right? That there has to be a champion. There has to be a very concrete plan of how do we go from a crawl, walk, run approach, right? How do we start small? Let's not bite off more than we can chew. And how do we really get some of this tech in place in a trial and with a clear plan to execute it as things go on? We've done a good amount of projects on our end, and really the ones that work best for us and for the customer is when there's a very clear process of, we want to start with a small approach. We want to start with a handful of the features, if you will, and then really know that down the road we would like to expand it. But oftentimes, if we get into it and then there's a desire to do everything all at once, those are the ones that always get into the bumpy start.
I think from an infrastructure point of view, we either need to have an Ethernet drop or a decent Wi-Fi connection. So we're not actually, in the majority of the operation we're doing, we're not actually streaming very much data. So we can lay back into a wireless system, which is the fastest and easiest way to do it, fairly quickly and without putting much of a load on your system. The other things that we would have to look at are the security. In other words, how is the hospital going to open a portal for us so that we can connect the power of the cloud and give them these features? So from a hospital's point of view, not a whole lot. You know, you basically need to have either Wi-Fi or a wired Ethernet connection, and you need to have a port that we can access, that we can set up a secure link on. We would also need to work with your EMR team to get that core amount of information that we would want to put into the system. For example, the native language of a patient being admitted, the fact that a patient is admitted or is in the room. These are fairly straightforward, simple things to do.
Great.
And it's far less work than punching out holes in the wall, dropping conduit, and putting in a whole new system.
So, Kirill, when we were talking about topics for today, you suggested we delve a little bit into digital signage. So, obviously, Hatch does a lot of different things from an augmentation standpoint. Why don't we talk a little bit about digital signage and why that's important and how you play there?
I think it's one of those things where if you walk through a hospital hallway and you see all the post-it notes and all the Sharpie marks on the side of the glass doors, it's almost a no-brainer if you think about it from that perspective. But then there's a reason why it hasn't caught on yet. And I think there's quite a lot of lessons learned for us, frankly, as we've gone down the road of providing digital signage for hospitals using consumer devices. I think kind of before COVID and during COVID, there's a very big driver to display information about the patient specifically. Right? If it's an isolation level, if it's a COVID precaution, you want a very clear, big stop sign that says, hey, don't walk in. This patient may be immunocompromised, or they may be an infection control patient. But having that information be up to date is honestly the biggest challenge, right? Because if the nurse was able to go in, change the flyer, change the placard from patient to patient as they got moved. And really that trickiness is where we see digital signage shifting these days, which is less about being able to throw information about the patient, but it's more about the time saved for the care teams as there's a shortage, as the care team is already doing so much more than they were doing before. Is how can you save time for them, for the infection control staff, for the EVS teams, of being able to go in, having to update all those flags, having to update that information, and really have a system that's more shared across the care team, right? Not just displaying isolation levels, for example, but a lot of our customers use it for saying, hey, this patient's left the room, it's time to clean the room. So now the EVS team knows when to come over, when to do the cleaning. And then similarly, when they're done, they can discharge the patient. So really it's making it less about a way to display patient alerts, but really focusing on how can we make this be a workflow tool for pretty much the entire care team, ultimately saving time. And you know, we did a study with one of our customers, and they estimated that an average nurse spends 15 minutes per patient per shift doing just manually updating the flags and the sticky notes outside of a room. So just per shift, that's a couple hours already saved for the nurses, and having to go do that manually, not even talking about the accuracy of having it all be done automatically.
Carl, could you describe a little bit about how that would actually work with Hatch Supply technology?
So with HatchMed, we're using a tablet for the display function. We have a unit on a wall, requires a PoE plus drop. And if you have the PoE plus drop, you plug in the module for the PoE and you mount the housing on the wall, and you fire up the software and you go. The installation for one of these things is about 15 minutes if you have the PoE plus drop already in place. The technology inside there essentially provides the connection to the iPad for displaying the information. We have an app. We also work with several different manufacturers of patient information systems like Evideon and Sonify, where we can display their information as well. The one unique feature we have on our signage that we push very hard is the fact that we have LED lighting around the rim of the sign. And that LED lighting around the rim of the sign can be set to give a quick visual indication of caregivers for various statuses in the room. It can be used for fall alert status. It can be used for isolation status. We've even seen it used for dangerous patient status. So if a patient is dangerous, we have one hospital set the color for purple for that particular room so that caregivers knew going in that they might have a patient that could be difficult to deal with. But the technology is very straightforward. We convert PoE Plus into usable information on that iPad mounted in the wall.
Right, and you're taking an otherwise consumer design device and industrializing it so that it can handle the rigors of a hospital.
Correct. Same as we do with the pillowcase device in the patient room. Part of what we're doing is providing that housing and power so that it's always there and it's always working and it's protected. Devices are UL listed both in the patient room and in the digital signage.
Great. So let's finish up asking you about what's coming down the pike from Hatch. So, Carol, why don't we start with you? What are you excited about that's Hatch anticipates in 2024 and beyond?
I think our products as a whole, really, what we're really focused on is how do we give patients products that they want to use? How do we give care team products that they want to use? But at the end of the day, they just have to work and they just have to make sense. And our focus is really expanding what we're doing with digital signage, expanding what we're doing with giving patients access to their room, to the nurse call system, and giving as much user